Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Dirge. Today I found him straightening bits of wire which he hung over the fence. After we'd finished repairing the fence yesterday, he got angry and his lips were blue. I've been working with him all week, building and repairing the fences. But today he's noticeably unwell, sitting mostly, massaging his hernia, directing me from his broken wooden chair. Grandma's been helping us, but today she's gone to the sale of nuts and clothes announced on the PA yesterday. She's hoping to find gloves, the ones with dots of rubber on the palms for gripping things. After lunch, a death is announced, followed by a long, crackling dirge. Everyone is listening. Grandpa holding scribbly wire, neighbours resting elbows on pitchforks, wives pausing in kitchens. The name they know they will know. Words and expressions to understand when working with Grandpa, arranged alphabetically. Dolu, down. Drevo, wood. Hore, up. Yoi, gosh. Kladivo, hammer. Klinchik, nail. Kurva, slut. Nechai, leave it. Nabok, move aside. Plot, fence. Podai, give me. Pomali, slow. Potom, later. Pusch, let go. Rovno, straight. Riklo, quick. Sekera, axe. Seno, hay. Tum, there. Tumto, that. Teras, now. Tiho, be quiet. Toto, this. Tu, here. Small breaths. Snow on the hills between dark trees. Less trees on Gypsy Hill. Branches in frozen performance outside cream and yellow houses. The houses are neat rectangles like grandma's slices of cake. Other homes are sagging, cracked, or roofless. Around and behind them are fences, meandering and old. Grandpa is sleeping in the room directly below, pale-faced and short-breathed beneath the purple blanket. Sitting on a chair beside him, Grandma hungrily pursues crosswords. Before becoming ill yesterday, Grandpa was measuring and cutting logs with a handsaw to replace the fences penetrated by male dogs in search of bitches on heat. Some houses have different tones of the same colour, creamy yellow, for example, on their sides, which in certain lights are like shadows. Grandpa's mouth seems smaller. As he sleeps, his lips suck in. Some houses and gates are more inward than others, retreating, as if asking to be left alone. The only smoke from their chimneys, like the small breaths of Grandpa's sickened sleep. The further away hills are blue, their edges softer without the detail of treetops. While most of the functioning houses are neat, they're not completely symmetrical. Their lines aren't quite straight, as if they were drawn without a ruler. Stefan's. Stefan is here. Stefan, the son of Stefan, is here to kill a goat. Stefan the First has taken the other goats to graze on an abandoned plot of land up on the hill. He's very fond of his goats, which all have names. Svetlana, Clement the First, Clement the Second. Stefan the Second will only kill Clement the Second after several shots of alcohol. It is raining. The goat is dead. Freshly cut goat's liver is being served to the butcher with few teeth. Grandma prepares buckets of warm water while her son places a tea towel over his left shoulder and sharpens his knives. Before leaving for the goat house, he sits on the ledge drinking. He tells us that he had to shoot Ivan Second's crazed dog the other day. He tells us that the killing isn't so easy anymore. It is raining. Stefan II is in the kitchen, drinking and eating liver. Soon his father will return from the hill with the other goats. He'll be less comical tonight, won't watch television. More likely he'll read the newspaper in the kitchen, to himself rather than out aloud to whomever happens to be about. Now it is raining. Stefan II can be heard telling a story. It's usually something he's heard on the radio. His niece, Lenka, is sitting on her low stool, peeling potatoes and preparing soup. Grandma stands nearby, refilling his glass, offering more liver. She is listening to her son. Frozenness. Through the patterned lace curtain and crystalline layer of ice on the window, I can see smoke rising from a chimney. The smoke is coming out quickly, travelling sideways, left. The fire is inside the bar across the creek. The bar sits rectangular and pink, small and vulnerable, at the base of the hill suddenly behind it. Since my last visit here, the bar has started selling ice cream. In the upper left corner of its facade, a hand-painted sign is advertising this. The sign shows an ice cream with red, white, and brown scoops sitting in a slightly lighter brown cone. Underneath it, in bold black text on a white background, is the word Zmrzlina, which translated literally means frozenness. This morning the green tractor is parked outside the bar again. Its trailer, the fatter section of a cone, is beginning to dominate my view through the relenting ice. A dirty, presumably stray, ginger cat runs past the bar, briefly pausing in front of one of the tractor's tires before exiting the left side of my window frame. Soon the tractor will chug off, in the same direction as the cat and the smoke, after its driver's refueling. The ice on the window is melting. The hill and the bar, the ice cream, are emerging through the stripes left by trails of dropping water. Here in this dark room, on the wooden chair beside me, sit a collection of buttons, big and small, of many colours, some with thread still attached. Pride. On our way up to the hay house, Grandpa's trying to indicate, with his body, how his younger siblings died. Later that evening I'll learn that his younger brother died of lung cancer and his younger sister of a brain injury. The latter was caused by an accident while riding her bicycle to the cabbage fields. While going down a steep slope, she was startled by a group of children which sent her toppling over the handlebars. She lived with headaches for another 5 years. In the property beside the hay house, a dog is standing on its doghouse, two legs on each side of the roof, barking at the empty slopes beyond. I fill 12 bags. On our way down from the hay house, Grandpa points to the house near the bus stop, where one of his older sisters still lives. This sister, I now realise, is the woman I've noticed spying on me through her lacy curtains on the few occasions I've waited for a bus. Another sister who lives further down, across the creek, has crooked legs and a large crack in her front window. Last year, when we met her on our walk, she told Lenka she was looking nice and fat. Grandpa hasn't spoken to either of his sisters for many years, despite they're all living so close to each other. When I ask Grandma why, she simply refers to their pride. Pig Day. The pig is hanging from the shed roof with hooks in its ankles. Its hair is being shaved off with long sharp knives. The men are tall. Uncle, once trained as a butcher, rips out the pancreas, the heart I thought, and throws it over the fence. A few minutes before, he fired a bullet into its head and slit its throat, and I watched as the thick, warm blood left its neck. The son of Uncle is looking at me, I see from the corner of my eye. He is interested in my reactions. Pig's liver like red leather on plates in the kitchen. Grandma is boiling sauerkraut, scrambling eggs with pig's brains. Grandpa can't drink anymore. He's sitting in the shed grinding cabbage for his goats. Later he'll be kicking one before complaining to Grandma about his drunken son. Everywhere meat is being washed, admired, chopped, inserted, boiled, eaten. I'm eating my scrambled eggs. The men are drinking slivovica. Nazdravye. In the boiler room, the young men listen while the older ones tell fuzzy stories. There is shouting and laughter. Uncle makes Grandma drink a shot. She says something too loudly, then withdraws into her lap. She fed the men. Now she seems afraid. Today is Pig Day. Yumbo escapes. Through my window I watched Uncle Stefan's dog Yumbo down on the frozen creek. He ran and skidded about the ice, furtively, having evidently escaped from his home upstream. Yumbo, son of Grandpa's Yumbo, now deceased, is an old mongrel with black fur, chunky body on low legs and a face full of whiskers, not dissimilar to the tobacco-stained moustache of his owner. I opened the window and called out, Yumbo! But that only seemed to make him run, more like a pig's gallop, faster. I wondered how far he'd go and whether he might be finally escaping Stefan II's angry outbursts. Lately I've been seeing a pack of stray dogs around the village, most of them dirty, with bushy erect tails and heavily glazed eyes. When coming upon them on the road one day, all but one, the one with fox-like features at the front of the pack, avoided making eye contact with me. Unlike the dogs defending houses, these dogs seemed demure and fearful. Like Yumbo, I last spotted them from my window, travelling east along the frozen creek. I briefly speculated Yumbo's joining these dogs before observing his dark, heavy shape moving back up the creek. Trip to town. This morning Grandma discovered many bottles of vodka she had hidden from Grandpa. All were empty. He's been drinking an awful lot of late when he's not supposed to drink at all. The combination with colourful pills he takes with his breakfast, nie dobre, not good. The train carriage had brown vinyl seats. Each seat had been slashed with a single diagonal cut through its middle, each cut consequently stitched up. The thread used to stitch up the slashes was a lighter brown than the brown vinyl. Some cuts were more curved than others, some slightly longer than others, but on the whole, there was remarkable uniformity to these actions. It occurred to me as I sat in the empty carriage that these acts of vandalism and reparation warranted some consideration. From the station I walked along the dark, slushy road, past the church and into the gate. Inside the kitchen, Grandpa was sleeping on his bed, usually his day bed, but tonight he's lying in darkness. He's made many visits to church these last days to pray for his recently deceased sister. Now he's snoring in the dark kitchen beside his spotty, watchful dog, Linda. Tomorrow's the funeral. On the front table there's a plastic bouquet, Grandpa's hat, a brown and white striped hanky. Before leaving, he'll grind some cabbage for the goats. Sweet Tooth. It was New Year's Eve. Grandpa, Grandma, Lenka, the dogs and I were sitting in the lounge watching television. There were various news items about New Year's Eve events around the country and some warnings about the dangers of fireworks. Then there were two briefer items, one about a kneeling man run over by three cars, and another titled Hen Lays Bizarre Egg, showing an ancient peasant proudly holding her museum piece. The weather forecasts predicted the possibility of overnight snow in our region. From the corner of my eye, I noticed Grandpa holding his jaw while leaning forward in a strange manner. Lenka and I went to the kitchen to get some food, and when we came back in, Grandpa was holding a small rotten tooth in his right palm, which Grandma was closely inspecting. When showing us, he dropped the tooth, prompting a search under the couch. Lenka lifted her chair while Grandpa leant down and picked it up, quickly closing his hand over it before returning his gaze to the television. When asked about the tooth, he seemed unconcerned, but later mentioned that there was a small sharp piece of tooth remaining which he might need to cover with some bubble gum, so he would not cut himself. Given Grandpa's notorious sweet tooth, the request sounded suspicious. He was already devouring the old Christmas biscuits we'd returned with. He must have eaten 10 or 12 in a row. After the news, there was a game show for old people who stayed at home on New Year's Eve, followed by another one. At 10:25 p.m., I went up to bed, unable to get through the hour or so leading up to the fireworks. I was woken at midnight by lots of loud bangs. The loudest bangs were from directly across the creek, where a group of 10 or 15 kids were setting off their fireworks. Lenka came up and told me that the dogs were petrified and hiding under the couch. Between the bangs, I could hear Grandpa trying to reassure them, telling them that they weren't guns, that they were only kids with fireworks. I lay awake in bed for the next 20 minutes, listening to the fireworks, occasionally seeing a streak of light flash by the window, before falling back to sleep. Broken mirror. As I ate my breakfast, I was thinking that I needed to trim my beard. In the bathroom, I took the mirror off the wall above the basin and balanced it on top of the bath taps, leaning it against the tiled section of wall. I could hear the voices of Grandma and Grandpa in the kitchen. Grandpa was talking loudly to the dogs above the voices on the radio behind him. I was cutting my beard when the mirror fell and smashed in the bathtub. I looked down and saw my face all broken, my beard partly trimmed, and suddenly felt like I was dreaming. I was beginning to resent Auntie's visiting dog with its ridiculous flapping ears and the way it interrupted people when they were eating. As I sat on the bath's edge, dreamily staring into the smashed mirror, I hated the dog. I got dressed and went into the kitchen. Lenka was peeling potatoes and I told her I'd broken the bathroom mirror. She came into the bathroom and we carefully picked out the broken 4 or 5 bits of glass in the tub. In the kitchen we showed Grandpa. He looked shocked for a moment, then said, "Never argue. Doesn't matter." The mirror was old and we needed a new one. "You won't get a beating," he joked. He seemed pleased with his reassuring role, chewing some meat while gesturing with his meaty hands. I wrapped the pieces of glass in an old newspaper on the kitchen table. When Grandma emerged from the pantry and saw the mirror, she said Nevaji too, but was more reserved than Grandpa. She went in and out of the pantry as I wrapped the shards. From her face, she might have been upset about the broken mirror. Yumbo moves in. On wheeling home a cart full of hay this afternoon, I receive several prolonged stares from passing men. The man with a beard who walks quickly, a fatter guy who wears army pants and a furry hat, the farmer in his tractor who made me drink Slivovitza when stacking hay 3 years ago. I was alone because Grandpa had a little temperature and was confined to boiler room activities. On reaching home with my load of sacks, I was greeted by Linda and Sydney, named after those who emigrated, both on heat, their protruding snouts pressed against the dirt beneath the front fence. Now, in the kitchen, Grandpa strokes Sydney's neck with his knuckles. He's talking about his old red radio, made in Poland and broken since many years ago, which Lenka and I will soon take up to Ivan's house. Ivan will show his neighbour who's good at fixing radios. Grandma is dusting it down, including the plug and cord. Her jumper is red like the radio. Shortly, Stefan II will arrive to pick up chains for transporting logs from the mountain. He'll eat cake, then goulash, while arguing with his father about whether or not Russia has decided to turn the gas back on. Yesterday he came by with his chainsaw. He cut the long, fat logs in the yard into small chunks which I split four ways with the axe. We both watched with amazement when Yumbo, Stefan II's dog, turned up in the yard having firstly escaped his home, then scratched and bitten his way through an old fence. Early that morning a stray fox-like dog got stuck to Linda after jumping a fence and mounting her on the compost heap. This section of the garden has only become penetrable because the neighbour's brutal dog Caesar, Sydney's suspected father, was recently put down. Yumbo also got stuck to Linda, then Sydney, and from this day forward will more or less remain here, only occasionally visiting his owner upstream. We put the radio in a mesh bag, treading and dressing quietly so as not to wake Grandpa. Beneath heavy arms, the dogs watch us, one-eyed, sleepily and sneakily hoping for a chance to escape. Outside the kitchen door, Yumbo is begging for more. Candles. From my window through lace curtains, I can see a man walking out his front gate, holding a bucket. He empties dirty water onto snow beside the creek. The woman who wanted to talk to Lenka about something, so she told Grandma at church one day, is across there, wearing a red parka, hands in pockets. Her scruffy yellow dog is sniffing and running ahead, sometimes doing circles, with its nose to the ground. The other day she caught us as we were crossing the creek and proceeded to ask us many questions about Australia. Then she told us about her candle collection, and finally whether Lenka's mum might be able to bring her a candle from Australia when she next comes to visit. We edged away, careful not to slip on the ice. Also, would we like to come and see her candle collection one day? There's a man, no hat, dark clothes, stumbling towards the bar while pulling nothing from his pockets. A dog barks, cars slush by, another dog, somewhere above, howls. Smoke is dribbling from the bar's chimney as the man with no coins looks, then enters. Potato. After lunch, I went for a walk up the hill via the road I hadn't been before. Up there, I found a man I hadn't seen before, feeding three goats with overgrown grass, one by one. The long grass belonged to an abandoned house with yellow walls and cracked windows. Here in the village there are many abandoned and yellow houses. I walked further up the hill to where the road forks. On my left, a very small chained dog startled me from behind a fence. It was barking hysterically while spinning round and round. It sounded and looked like a broken toy. At the end of the left road there were hissing geese. Beside them an old woman collecting water from the creek. On my way home, ahead of me, a young boy was kicking a potato. Slowly, with little kicks, he tried to keep his game alive. Grandpa is paler, thinner, greyer somehow. When I came into the kitchen to put water on the stove, I found him standing, his back to me, in front of the radio perched above the green cupboard. He was slowly turning the dial back and forth as a folk song struggled for voice beneath the loud crackling. I went upstairs to fetch some drawing paper, then returned to make tea. Grandpa was still standing, listening to the semi-tuned song, his fingers now resting on the cupboard's shelf beneath. When arriving by car in the village last night, I was reminded of all the paintings I'd been making, of that house, those wires, this road. And then, as we sat at the kitchen table being welcomed, I felt distant, even sad. Distant from what? These people, all these things, teaspoons, oven mitt, eyes, sugar bowl, pin, dog, dog's pillow, pin cushion, old brown telephone, songs. Songs? With my cup of tea and blank pad of paper, here I am, not quite here again.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.